Okay, let us begin part two. You can pray for the ability to hear. It is not easy to hear, especially in Kali Yuga, Manda Samanda Mateo, Manda Abhagya Upaduta. But listen to the words of someone who has just experienced the personal presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is chapter 5. Criticism. Just try to hear one verse. Well, in the beginning, we spoke about the person and that he had just experienced Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presence for 4 months. And then when Mahaprabhu left Sri Rangam, he became completely absorbed in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this was from an introduction to this book written by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He became completely absorbed in him, and nothing else was in his existence, practically speaking. So he quickly left Sri Rangam and went to Vrindavan. And there he engaged in his bhajan, his devotional service. So I thought the first point in being able to hear was to keep in mind who you're hearing from. This person has just seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He himself was an exalted person already, and his heart was so completely taken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that this one-pointed focus has sprung from his heart like the Ganga flows from Gomukh with such force and with such focus and with such singularity that nothing else is important to him. So I thought that was the first part, essential part, is that that some faith in the person has to be established. And then the second part is to just listen and let the words enter the heart. And then, because it's not a long text, but it will take more than probably I could concentrate, we've divided up into smaller sections and had some discussion in there in between and some prayer. So if you would like to add something, please. We are listening very attentively. Let me repeat it so that anyone who may not be able to hear it. When a calf follows a cow, I can't get the sweetness that you can portray, but I will just repeat it. When a calf follows the cow, he knows there is milk in the udder. This knowledge makes him keep on track in his following. So the devotee, when he hears the text, he should be like the calf who knows there is nectar in the text. And he listens attentively with an intense desire to get that nectar. Is that okay? Thank you, thank you, thank you. If the intense desire is there, then attentiveness and everything else is automatically there. So we have Giriraj here. We have Gornatai here. We have Prabhupada here. So many Radha Govinda there. If we feel any lack, we have no means, we have no lack of being surrounded by those who can help us. So take a moment before we begin the next section to enter a prayerful state of consciousness, prayerful and eager to capture the heart of Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur that's coming from his lotus mouth. The heart means his deepest thoughts that are really overflowing from his heart through his mouth forcefully. So take a moment to enter into the mood of the receptive mood, like the calf. And now he's going to criticize anyone who is not a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My mind thinks that a person who has countless pious credits and has completely taken shelter of Lord Hari, but who does not worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I think him poor and unfortunate. Pathetic are the followers of Vedic rituals. Pathetic are the practitioners of severe austerity. Pathetic, worthy of pity, worthy of what's a good word for pathetic? Wretched, but not worthy of wretched. But they're so low, one will naturally feel compassion for them. Pathetic are the practitioners of severe austerity. Pathetic are the dull-witted fools whose mouths have blossomed with the words, "I am Brahman." Why do we lament for these animals in the guise of men intoxicated by the taste of other things than Krishna? Alas, they have not even tasted a drop of the nectar of Lord Gaura. Watered with nectar, a stone will not sprout even a single blade of grass. Carefully stretched out, a dog's tail will never become straight. A man may reach out his arms as much as he like, but he will never be able to grasp the moon. A man may follow all the rituals of ordinary religion, but without the mercy of Lord Gaurachandra, he will never attain the festival of ecstatic love for Krishna. The advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like an expanding ocean of nectar. One who does not collect the valuable jewels within that ocean is certainly the poorest of the poor. The golden moon of Lord Gaurachandra now creates a great tsunami wave in the ocean of love for Krishna. They who will not dive into that ocean must find themselves diving instead into an ocean of unwanted deeds. Underline that in your mind. Those who do not dive into the ocean of nectar that Mahaprabhu's advent has created will doubtlessly, what? Who heard? Find themselves diving instead into an ocean of unwanted deeds. The golden moon of Lord Chaitanya Chandra now creates tidal waves in the nectar ocean of pure love for Krishna. A person untouched by these waves is certainly the poorest of the poor. Even though they be scholars learned in the scriptures, those persons who will not accept Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead must continue to wander in this lifeless world of repeated birth and death. Again and again he tastes the great sweetness of his own holy name. Again and again he is overcome with ecstasy. Again and again he says, "Sing, oh sing the glories of the King of Braja." Those who have not seen Lord Gaurachandra in this way find pure love for Lord Krishna very difficult to attain. Why should grass not sprout without seeds? Why should the blind not see? Why should the lame not be able to leap over mountains if those persons who have no devotion for Lord Chaitanya, who is the master of the wonderful, unparalleled opulence of the nectar of pure love of Krishna, could somehow attain the bliss of that pure love? A devotee of Lord Govinda, whose mind is not wrapped, focused in meditation on Lord Gaura, the philanthropist, the most munificent, charitable person, who, by wonderfully preaching the glories of the sweet nectar of pure love of Krishna, gave in charity the wonderful bliss of pure love of Krishna. Such a person is a bewildered fool. He is an animal in the guise of a man. Although numberless incarnations of the Lord are described in the Shruti and other Vedic literatures, who except for the Lord himself has the power to describe the glories and opulences of Lord Gauranga? How many times have the devotees not personally seen that their beloved Lord Gaurachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari? Alas, alas, still the fools refuse to believe that Lord Gaura is the Supreme. If the people of this world say that because Lord Gaura, whose playful sidelong glance gives birth to the bliss of pure love of Krishna, which shows all living entities the worthlessness of material benefits and impersonal liberation, is not directly, if the people of this world say that this Lord who is giving so much mercy is not directly described in the four Vedas, he cannot be the Supreme God, then I say, alas, alas, they are all atheists. I recently heard Prabhupada say that in a recording. He said, basically, religionist, non-religionist, everyone is actually an atheist, because no one, in fact, trusts, not no one, but it is the rarest of persons who actually has full trust in Krishna, that they are willing to give themselves to him fully. Pathetic, this is Kali Yuga. Pathetic is such a person's noble birth. Pathetic is his eloquence. Pathetic is his fame. Pathetic are his scholarship, wealth, and handsome young body. Pathetic is his status as a brahmana. Pathetic is his observance of Vanashrama Dharma. Pathetic is he who in the age of Kali does not worship the golden form of Lord Gauranga. When they see Vikrasha Pandit and the other devotees of Lord Gaura overwhelmed by continuously tasting the very wonderful and splendid nectar of pure love for Krishna, the Lord's exalted associates in Vaikuntha become filled with wonder and the hairs on their bodies stand erect. Without performing many pious deeds, how can one become a devotee of Lord Gauranga? Lord Hari brought the full nectar of pure devotional service to this world. He gave his mercy to all the living entities. He spoke with them. He showed them his handsome, smiling face. He affectionately glanced at them from afar and gave them a great festival to see of pure love for Krishna. And those who, despite having received so many gifts from him, still refuse to worship him must be considered foolish, cruel-minded, and demons. That chapter is so heavy. He takes the spotlight of his devotional love for Mahaprabhu and turns it on everyone in the world. And now he takes that same spotlight and turns it on himself. I am cheated. I am cheated. I am cheated. Of this there is no doubt. Although Lord Gauranga has plunged the entire world in a flood of love for Krishna, I have not touch even a single drop. Now that the pollen of Lord Gauranga's feet has touched this earth, even without trying for it, who has not attained the pure love of Krishna that is the crest jewel of all human endeavor? Alas, Alas, because of my misfortune, my great misfortune, only I have not attained even the slightest degree, even the fragrance of that love. And because of this calamity, I say, to hell with my worthless life, to hell with my knowledge, to hell with my high place in Varnashrama society. Although the rising ocean of Lord Gaurachandra's mercy has flooded the entire world, I am so unfortunate that not even a single drop has fallen on me. How has this amazing calamity happened? Now it is the age of Kali. My enemies, the senses, have become very strong. The splendid path of pure devotional service is blocked by many thorns, and I am weak, and my mind is agitated. Alas, alas. O Lord Chaitanya Chandra, if now you will not give me your mercy, what can I do? Because the wonderful Lord never became before my eyes, and because I never tasted the transcendental nectar of service to his lotus feet, I simply pray to attain the jubilant festival of the association of those great souls who now decorate this world and whose hearts are fixed at the lotus feet of Sri Gauranga. I'm tightly bound by the chains of limitless, horrible desires. I'm addicted to millions of sins. My mind is filled with pain, and millions of wicked men mislead me. They are not my friends, except for Lord Gauranga, who is my friend in this world. Alas, alas, alas. Millions of the seeds of material pious deeds failed to sprout when I tried to plant them in the desert of my heart. I shall give up trying to plant them, and with all my heart, I shall take shelter of Lord Gaurachandra's feet, which bear the wonderful seed of pure devotional love. Alas, alas, how will the desire creeper of pure devotional service sprout in the desert of my heart? In my heart there is only one hope. I shall call out the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then I shall never again lament. I am chained by sinful desires. I have fallen into the painful ocean of repeated birth and death. The sharks and crocodiles of lust and anger, they devour me alive. I have no shelter with Chaitanya Chandra. Please rescue me. Please give me the shelter of your lotus feet. O Lord Chaitanya Chandra, if you place your merciful glance on me, then even though I am a great fool, the wonderful path of pure devotion, which is sought by Shiva, Sukadev, Uddhav, Narad, and other great souls, it will be not far away. Where is your causeless mercy? Where is wonderful transcendental opulence? Where is love for the devotees, O Lord Krishna? Where are these virtues present in the same way they are present in your feature as Lord Gaura? Chapter 7. The firm conviction that Lord Chaitanya is the worshipable Supreme Personality of Godhead. O foolish mind, please take shelter of Lord Gauranga, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is hidden from the view of the Vedas, and who with his own transcendental potency plunged the entire world into the great nectar ocean of love for the lotus feet of Krishna. If someone can attain the supreme goal of life by devotedly hearing about, meditating upon, or glorifying Lord Murari, then that is very good for him. Let him do it. For myself, however, I shall only worship the hidden sweetness that fills the great shoreless nectar ocean of pure love of Krishna that flows from Lord Gauranga. Some may worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead with the hope to attain the four goals of life: piety, sense gratification, economic development, and liberation. And others may reject all other objects of worship and simply become servants of Krishna. For myself, my mind is greedy to attain the great secret of pure love for Krishna, and for this reason I take shelter of the feet of Chaitanya Chandra. My faith in Vedic and ordinary duties, my embarrassment to sing, dance, and laugh, and my natural tendency to be absorbed in material activities, they have been stolen away by a very powerful golden complexion thief. Who is this divine person showering millions of nectar oceans on intensely blissful, splendid, and sweet, pure love of Krishna from the corners of his eyes in the form of his tears, who is glistening with mercy? Who is this person whose fair complexion form is as splendid as a golden young plantain tree? Who is this person who has suddenly made my heart become so deeply devoted to his feet? His complexion is as fair as molten gold. His form is filled with the splendor and blissful nectar of pure transcendental love. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has mercifully appeared in the town of Navadvip. In Navadvip, every home celebrates great festivals in honor of Bhakti Devi, the goddess of devotion. Navadvip is sweeter than Vaikuntha. My heart finds happiness in the transcendental abode of Navadvip. Let the Vedic scriptures say whatever they like. Let the learned logicians comment as they like. Whatever they say, the nectar of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet shall always remain my life and soul. If the rare mystic perfections were to fall into my hand, if the demigods approached me to become my servants, if my form became the forearm form of the residents of Vaikuntha, my mind would still not swerve from Lord Gaurachandra for even a moment. Let me live in a terrible cage of fire. I shall never associate with those averse to Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. My heart has no desire to go to Vaikuntha or any other auspicious place. If, for even a single moment, I could not taste the pollen of the lotus flower of Lord Chaitanya's feet. I may become famous in this world, or I may attain wonderful mystic power, or by worshiping Lord Vishnu, I may attain a handsome forearm form just like his. Still, if these things separate me from devotional service to Lord Gaura, my heart would not love them. O Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, O Merciful One, O Supremely Generous One, O Lord who fills the hearts of the living entities with the different mellows of devotional love, O wonderfully splendid Lord, O golden complexion Lord, O ocean of transcendental virtues, O personified nectar of devotional service, O Lord who is fond of chanting his own holy names, I pray that without ever becoming fatigued, that I will never become tired as I pass my life always chanting your holy names in this way. O Lord Krishna, your golden form is the life of the devotees. It is the philanthropist that gives in charity the nectar of pure love of God. When shall I wholeheartedly love this golden form? When because I have finally understood the secret of this golden form. Will the splendor of Srimati Radharani's jeweled toenails shine in my heart? I meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who bears the name Chaitanya. He wears a garland of fully blossomed Dhammanaka flowers. He pleases everyone. He enjoys pastimes in a secluded garden. He continuously chants the holy name of Krishna. He is the abode of compassion. His fair complexion is as effulgent as gold. I pray that my mind may always remember Lord Gauranga, the sannyasi whose eyes are like two bumblebees drawn to the glistening lotus flower of Lord Jagannath's face in the festival city of Nalachala, who is tossed here and there by great waves of ecstatic love of God, who is the same Lord Krishna who appeared like Cupid to the doe-eyed girls of Braja. I take shelter of Lord Gaudahari, who has accepted the saffron garments of a sannyasi whose bodily hairs stood up in ecstasy and whose handsome form is decorated with pearl-like tears that flow from his lotus-like eyes. When will Lord Gaudahari, who is more handsome than Cupid, more purifying than the celestial Ganga, more cooling than the moon, more sweet than Madhavika nectar, more generous than a desire creeper, and more affectionate than a mother, when will he appear in my meditation and lovingly place his lotus feet in my heart? I pray that the merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose complexion eclipses the splendor of millions of lightning flashes, whose hips are covered with a charming manjushri flower-colored saffron cloth, and who delights this universe by again and again flooding it with the sweetest nectar of pure love of Krishna, when will he become dear to me? Will Lord Gaura, whose splendor condemns millions and millions of Cupids, whose handsome face eclipses millions and millions of rising autumn moons, and whose generosity makes millions and millions of desire trees seem insignificant, when will he place his lotus feet in my heart after I have accumulated pious deeds in millions and millions of births? I pray that the splendid moonlight of Lord Chaitanya Chandra, which violently uproots the darkness in the hearts of the entire world, which brings limitless tidal waves to the nectar ocean of the bliss of pure love for Krishna, and which brings coolness to the universe, which burns day and night in the threefold miseries of material existence, I pray that that moonlight may shine in all of our hearts. Plunge into Radha's lamentation in separation from Krishna. At one moment, he would become emaciated, completely thin, and devastated, feel destroyed, thinking that Lord Krishna had appeared before him. At another moment, he would become fat, chubby with happiness. At another moment, he would shed tears of joy. At another moment, he would smile. And at another moment, he would become very cool. Burning in the fire of separation from Krishna, at another moment, he would become filled with fever. Thinking that he saw Lord Krishna in the distance, at another moment, he would run madly after him. And considering that he had just touched Krishna, he would become stunned with bliss. At one moment, he would talk as if Krishna were present, and at another moment, he would become silent. I pray that Lord Gauranga, the golden form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, may appear in my heart. He does not consider whether a person is qualified or not. He does not see who is his own and who is an outsider. He does not consider who should receive and who should not receive. He does not consider whether it is a proper time or not. The Lord at once gives the nectar of pure devotional service that is difficult to attain by hearing the message by the of the Lord, even difficult to attain by hearing the Lord's message. Seeing the deity, offering obeisances, meditating, or following a host of spiritual practices. That Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Gaudahari, is my only shelter. Even the greatest sinners, even the lowest of men, even men of the lowest character, even those heading up the charge of sinful activities, even the dog eaters, even those whose hearts are filled with sinful desires, even those born or who reside in sinful countries, and even those who are destroyed by bad company, have all been rescued by the mercy of Lord Gaurachandra. Let me take shelter of him. Leaving the charming forest on the bank of the Yamuna and entering a flower garden by the shore of the saltwater ocean and rejecting his yellow garment and accepting a saffron cloth, Lord Hari has now concealed his own bodily luster and manifests a golden complexion. Let me take shelter of that golden Lord Hari. Please turn to Giriraj. And maybe some sincere prayer will come to your heart. Maybe some longing, maybe some desire, maybe some hope. Maybe some eagerness, maybe some thirst. This is chapter 8, Loka Shiksha, Instructions to the People. O foolish people, please seek the path of pure Hari Bhakti, which even the great sages in ancient times could not find after long searching. If in your heart there is no faith, and if you think it is too difficult for you to attain, then please abandon all these misconceptions and take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga. He places his budding lotus hands above his head. His soft cheeks are bathed in tears from his eyes. He is dressed in garments the color of newly blossomed lotus whorl, and his complexion robs gold of its splendor. Please offer your respectful obeisances to Lord Gauranga. O brother, even if you chant the wonderfully powerful holy names of Krishna, and even if you meditate on his brilliant and charming transcendental form, which creates auspiciousness for the entire world, you still cannot hope to attain the splendid nectar of pure love for Krishna if the merciful glance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not fall upon you. Please do not act in this reckless way, because you have not taken shelter of Lord Gauranga's lotus feet. The devotees who have become intoxicated by drinking the nectar of the mellows of pure devotional service to Krishna are everywhere laughing at your endeavors. Oh, brothers, please listen to this secret. Lord Gauranga is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and He is the object of the pure love of God described in all the Vedic scriptures. I have no power to understand the path of Krishna Bhakti, which makes one averse to impersonal speculation and non-devotional yoga, and I have no contact with saintly masters. Alas, alas, of whom can I take shelter? O fool, has the name Gaurahari never entered your ears? Give up all useless material duties. Do not allow a single word of the impersonalist theory to enter your ears. Give up all illusions about your material body and family and paraphernalia in relationship to it. Taking shelter of the mercy of Lord Gaura, please attain the very wonderful and sweet crest jewel of all human endeavors. What is the use of studying many scriptures? What is the use of going on pilgrimage to holy places? Spit on the opulence of Swargaloka. Know that all material benefits are as worthless as a handful of straw. Instead of chasing after these, please take shelter of Lord Gauranga, who is dressed in the garments of a sannyasi, and who, intoxicated by tasting the nectar of Krishna Prema, dances by the shore of the sea. What good will come from practicing the difficult yoga paths? Give them up. Instead, please plunder the treasure house of pure love for the lotus feet of Krishna. If you aspire to attain the wonderful festival of pure love for Krishna, which even Shiva, Brahma, and all the demigods cannot attain, then please become devoted to the inconceivably glorious and magnanimous Lord Gauranga. When a pious person attains devotion to the lotus feet of Lord Gaura, the ocean of nectar from the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani suddenly floods his heart. I will read that again. When a pious person attains devotion to the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga, the ocean of nectar from the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani suddenly floods his heart. When within Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, which are worshipped by Brahma and Shiva, the shoreless nectar ocean of the confidential mellows of splendid pure love of Krishna rests. The saintly devotees should always meditate on these feet, take shelter of them, become intoxicated with love for them, and chant their glories. Here is a verse often quoted by Srila Prabhupada. I take a straw in my mouth. I fall down at your feet and flatter you. And we can tell that the translator has taken some words from Prabhupada here. Oh, sir, you are such a great and intelligent man. There is no one greater than you. You are so intelligent. You are so rich. You are so beautiful. And you may ask, why are you speaking so humbly to me? Why are you flattering me? What is your intention? Tell me. Oh, you are a great sadhu. You have learned so many nice things. I know that. But please kick them out. Please. Whatever nonsense rascaldom you have learned, whatever hogwash things are in your brain, kick them all out. Throw them all far away and place all your love in the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga. Liberation. Everyone's so obedient. Everyone loved Krishna and Lord Gauranga for a minute. Ah, see. Only if it were that easy. But I think Giriraj can make it that easy. Liberation is not difficult to attain, and devotional service to Krishna is not very difficult to attain. In Vaikuntha Loka, by the mercy of Lord Garachandra, is very difficult to attain. Excuse me, that one didn't read right. Liberation is not difficult to attain, and devotional service to Lord Krishna is not difficult to attain. But even in Vaikuntha, the mercy of Lord Gaurachandra is very rare and difficult to attain. May the devotees worship the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. May they become filled with the nectar of pure devotional service. May they delight and astonish the three worlds with their charming sweetness, good fortune, compassion, tolerance, and other virtues. If one's heart is set on crossing beyond the ocean of repeated birth and death, if one's heart relishes the sweet nectar of Krishna Sankirtan, and if one's heart yearns to swim and sport in the ocean of pure love for Krishna, one should then take shelter of Lord Gaurachandra's feet. Where are knowledge, renunciation, devotion, and other virtues equal to those who are the property of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet? If this dull and lifeless world does not worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya, who is worshipped by the greatest demigods, then it will find death and rebirth staring at it from every turn. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Gaura, is merciful to me, and for this reason I consider the impersonalness of Varanasi's to be not very important, then why should I go on pilgrimage to Gaya to offer pinda to the ancestors? If Lord Gauranga is merciful, and my personal liberation does not weigh even as heavily as a fraction of any ounce on me, then why should I become interested in material piety, economic development, and sense gratification? If Lord Gaura is merciful, and I have not even the slightest fear of hell, then why should I be filled with anxiety over the well-being of my wife, children, friends, and relatives? I'm forced by the unstoppable time factor to skip ahead a little bit. Chapter 10. Now that Lord Gauranga has descended to this world, the waves of the holy names of Lord Krishna are suddenly flooding this planet. And the hearts of sinful conditioned souls, which were as hard as thunderbolts, have now become as soft as butter. Let me take shelter of that Lord Gauranga. Now that Lord Chaitanya, his heart filled with mercy, has descended to this world, those living entities who had formerly never practiced yoga, who had never meditated, chanted mantras, performed austerities, or followed various Vedic restrictions, studying the Vedas, they have been able to easily plunder the crest jewel of all goals of life. Now that the moon of Lord Chaitanya Chandra has revealed the path of pure devotional service, materialists have given up talking about their wives, children, and material affairs. The scholars have given up debating the scriptures. The yogis have given up the trouble to control their breath. And ascetics have given up their austerity. And the impersonalists have given up impersonalism. Now there is only the sweetness of pure devotional service. Now, nothing else is sweet. The whole world is now suddenly flooded by the nectar waters of the ocean of pure love for Krishna. Now, there is suddenly a great wonder of symptoms of ecstatic love that were never seen or heard of before. All this has suddenly appeared now that Lord Krishna has descended in a form that is as splendid as gold. Now that the golden complexion Lord is distributing pure love of Krishna in this world, his servants, friends, and charming gopi lovers have all come to his lotus feet. They have now attained a priceless treasure of pure love of Krishna, more valuable than anything they had possessed before. Everywhere, sinful men and women are laughing, and stone-like hearts of materialists are melting. This is happening now that the most wonderful and glorious Sri Chaitanya has descended to this earth. Because they are very difficult to understand, Sukadeva Goswami had only briefly hinted at the sweet pastimes between Radha and Krishna in his description of the Rasa dance in Srimad Bhagavatam. And now, Lord Hari has descended to this world in a golden form to reveal the truth of those pastimes. Some, headed by Uddhav, have attained the Lord's service. Others have attained a glorious position like that of Sridham. And others have become lotus-eyed girls in Braja. And other very fortunate and intelligent persons have attained the lotus feet of Sri Radha. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what great fortune has this world not attained? A form of molten gold delights my heart. On the shore of the saltwater ocean, that golden form plunges the entire world into the very sweet pastimes of Krishna. Who is the nectar ocean of love for Krishna, who is the nectar ocean of love for the gopis? Even in his childhood pastimes, that golden form enchants the entire world. On the pathways of those of whose ears had the wonderful words pure love of Krishna, on the pathway of whose ears had the wonderful words pure love of Krishna entered? Who had known the glories of the holy name? Who had entered the great sweetness of the forest of Vrindavan? Who had understood Sri Radha, who is filled with the most wonderful sweetness of the nectar of pure love for Krishna? It is only Lord Chaitanya who has mercifully revealed all of this. And now the final prayers. Glorified by Shiva, Brahma, Vyas, and all other demigods and sages, filling the universe with millions of golden rays of light from his transcendental limbs tossed about in the waves of the nectar ocean of pure love of Krishna, and displaying a form that enchants the entire world and cannot be understood even by millions of Vedic literatures, the wonderful Supreme Personality of Godhead now dances on the shore of the saltwater ocean. Who was the golden complexioned person wearing a loincloth on his hips, bracelets on his wrists, a necklace about his chest, and earrings on his ears, bells on his ankles, and a garland of jasmine flowers in his bound up hair, and who enjoys many transcendental pastimes, chanting his own holy name and dancing? One moment he laughs, the next moment he cries, the next moment he faints, the next moment he rolls about on the ground, the next moment he runs, the next moment he dances, the next moment he sighs, the next moment he loudly calls out, "Alas, alas!" In this way, plunged in the nectar ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna, golden complexion Lord Hari enjoys transcendental pastimes. He ends with a sotchaka, a lamentation. Will Lord Chaitanya Chandra, whose transcendental form was never described by the Upanishads, who is the crest jewel of the Vedas, whose very sweet path could not be approached by Shiva, Brahma, Lakshmi, or the other demigods, and who intoxicated the world with the nectar of love for Lord Hari, when will he come within the range of my words? When will he come within the range of my thoughts? Somewhere, people are indifferent to material activities. somewhere people chant mantras and practice austerities in yoga. And somewhere people are engaged in devotional service mixed with jnana. And somewhere the splendid path of pure devotional service is present, but in name only. O Lord Chaitanya, where have you gone? I do not anywhere see the path of pure devotional service. When Golden Lord Hari appeared in this world, his glory flooded the world with the nectar of pure love of Krishna. And there was tumultuous chanting of the holy names of Lord Hari. Oh, will that time ever come again? The fortunate town of Navadvipa remains on the earth. The seashore remains. The city of Jagannath Puri remains. The holy name of Lord Krishna remains. But alas, alas, I do not see anywhere the same kind of festival of pure love for Lord Hari. O Lord Chaitanya, O ocean of mercy, will I ever see your transcendental glory again? If someone says that Lord Chaitanya is an Amsa avatar like Lord Matsya, or if not that, then a Leela avatar, or a Shaktavesh avatar, then he does not understand the actual glory of Lord Chaitanya, the original personality of Godhead, who is full of all perfect and incomparable potencies and wonderful pastimes. The transcendental opulence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu astonishes Brahma, Shiva, and all the demigods. I pray that when Lord Chaitanya hears the words of this foolish child, he will become kind to me. I have not learned from many saintly spiritual masters, and I have not carefully studied the scriptures with many learned scholars. Although I speak like a child, I pray that Lord Gaudahari will still be pleased with me. So there, Prabodhananda Saraswati ends. And two remaining points. One is that you have all sat so patiently for 2 hours. And I want to express my appreciation. I know it is not difficult to listen for that long, so straight. We pray that some of the words of Sri Prabodhananda Saraswati, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and by the mercy of Gaur Nithai, have entered your heart and they will stay there. Thank you so much. But the second thing is, before you leave now, just turn and face Giriraj as we ask Janardhan Prabhu to sing the holy names of Krishna in a suitable melody. And then when you're finished offering your prayers, you can touch the dust of Vrindavan and you can leave as in the time as it suits you. Or you can sing along as you like.